Loyal husbands are destroying their marriages, and they have no idea it's happening. Not because they're cheating, not because they're abusive, not because they're neglecting their wives. They're destroying their marriages because they're doing exactly what society told them to do. Being faithful, available, attentive, putting their wife first in everything. And it's killing the attraction faster than any affair ever could. Women don't respect your loyalty when it comes attached to constant availability. They respect loyalty when it's paired with independence. When it's a choice from a position of strength, not a default setting from weakness. And most loyal husbands never learn this distinction until it's too late. Until she's already emotionally checked out while they're still wondering what they did wrong. Here's what nobody tells you about being a loyal husband. Your wife expects loyalty. That's the baseline. The entry requirement. What she doesn't expect, what actually creates and maintains attraction, is a man who's loyal, but has his own life, his own boundaries, his own center that doesn't revolve around her emotions. But modern men have been conditioned to believe that loyalty means total availability, that being a good husband means dropping everything when she calls. Watch this carefully. There are five distinct phases your wife goes through when a loyal husband finally establishes boundaries and independence. When he stops being constantly available while maintaining his faithfulness. Each phase more revealing than the last. Each one designed to test whether this change is real or just another temporary mood she can wait out or break through. Understanding these phases is the difference between saving your marriage and watching it die slowly while you follow all the right advice. Let me tell you about Derek, 36 years old, accountant in Denver, married 8 years to his high school sweetheart. Derek did everything right, never cheated, never even looked at another woman, came home every night at 6, helped with dinner, put the kids to bed, cancelled guys' nights if his wife needed him, skipped the gym if she wanted to watch a show together. He was the model husband by every modern metric, and his wife was bored out of her mind. Sex went from 3 times a week to 1 time a month. She stopped initiating anything, started spending more time on her phone than talking to him. Derek's response became even more available, even more attentive, trying harder to fix whatever was broken, which made everything worse, because here's the brutal truth most relationship experts won't tell you. Loyalty without boundaries doesn't create security. It creates contempt. When you're constantly available, constantly accommodating, constantly rearranging your life around her schedule and needs and moods, you're not demonstrating love. You're demonstrating that you have nothing else going on, that your life has no center beyond her, that you're not choosing her from abundance, you're clinging from scarcity. And female biology is hardwired to detect this difference at a molecular level. Think about this for a second. Your grandfather was loyal to your grandmother, but he also had his poker nights, his work, his projects in the garage, his non-negotiable boundaries. He loved her fiercely, but he didn't orbit around her emotions. He had his own gravitational pull. Modern men have been taught that this independence is selfish, that real love means total availability. But what they're actually creating is a dynamic where the wife becomes the emotional center and the husband becomes a satellite. And satellites don't generate attraction, they generate indifference. Now here's where this gets twisted. When Derek finally figured this out, when he started going to the gym again, scheduling guys' nights, saying no to some of her requests, his wife's first reaction wasn't gratitude or attraction. It was pure anger. And this is phase one, where 99% of loyal husbands immediately cave because they can't handle their wife being upset with them. Their entire identity is built around keeping peace, maintaining harmony, making her happy. She accused Derek of being selfish, of not caring about the family anymore, of choosing his friends over her. Classic shit tests disguised as genuine complaints. If Derek's marriage had margin of safety, meaning they hadn't had major conflicts recently, this anger would have stayed mostly internal. But because things had been rocky, she went nuclear. threats of counseling, mentions of her mom saying she deserves better, cryptic Facebook posts about knowing your worth. And this is where most men fail catastrophically. They interpret her anger as evidence that establishing boundaries was the wrong move. They apologize, explain, justify, go back to being the always available doormat they were before. What they don't understand is that this anger is necessary. It's the first step in a biochemical process that literally changes how her brain perceives you. When you cave during the anger phase, you've just reinforced that her emotions control you, that a little pressure makes you fold, that you're exactly as weak as she suspected. Female brains are wired to test male strength, not consciously, not maliciously, but biologically. In ancestral environments, women who chose men with unstable frames, men who could be emotionally manipulated, men who crumbled under pressure, their offspring survived at lower rates. This isn't about morality. This is about survival programming, running underneath conscious awareness. But when you maintain boundaries through her anger, something fascinating happens. She starts to question herself instead of questioning you. Maybe I have been taking him for granted. Maybe he does need his own life. This self-reflection is impossible while you're constantly available, because availability breeds familiarity, and familiarity breeds contempt. That is the harsh reality nobody wants to admit. Derek maintained his boundaries for 3 weeks through the anger phase. Didn't argue, didn't defend, didn't justify. Just pleasantly maintained his new patterns. Went to the gym Tuesday and Thursday mornings. Had guys' night every other Friday. Said no to dropping everything for non-emergencies. Stayed loyal, stayed present when home, but stopped being infinitely available. And gradually, the anger shifted into something else. Phase two is the transition phase. The anger fades, but she's not ready to reach out yet. She's processing, evaluating, weighing her options. This phase typically lasts 1 to 3 weeks, depending on temperament and relationship history. During transition, she starts remembering good times, missing your presence in specific moments, feeling the emptiness where constant availability used to be. But she's also proud, stubborn, testing whether you'll crack first, whether this change is real or just another temporary mood she can wait out. Most men can't handle the silence during transition. They mistake it for disconnection and rush to reassure, to reconnect, to restore the old dynamic. But that silence is exactly what's necessary for her to miss you, to remember why she chose you, to feel genuine desire instead of entitled expectation. Here's the part most people miss. You can't manufacture missing someone who's always there. It's biologically impossible. When something is constantly available, our brains categorize it as a secured resource, like the air we breathe or the water from our tap. Essential, but not exciting. Valuable, but not precious. When that same resource becomes selectively available, suddenly our brain recalculates its value. This isn't manipulation. It's how human psychology has functioned for hundreds of thousands of years. Derek noticed the shift around week 4. His wife started making small gestures toward reconnection, sent him a funny meme related to something they used to joke about, asked his opinion on something trivial she easily could have decided herself, created excuses to be in the same room. These weren't real attempts at reconciliation. They were tests to see if the door was still open, if he was still receptive, if his boundaries were real or performative. This is phase 3, the reapproach phase, and it's where most loyal husbands, starved for affection after weeks of distance, completely destroy all the value they've built. They jump on these breadcrumbs like starving dogs. Immediately return to full availability, full eagerness, full validation seeking. But here's what you need to understand. Her reapproach isn't about wanting you back. It's about testing whether your boundaries were real or just temporary. If you immediately return to old patterns the moment she shows interest, you've just taught her that your boundaries were fake, that she can control your behavior with minimal effort, that the man she started to respect again is actually the same weak frame she lost attraction to in the first place. Derek handled this perfectly. He was warm, but not eager, responsive, but not desperate, appreciated her gestures, but didn't change his patterns, still went to the gym, still had guy's night, still maintained the independence that had sparked her interest. This created what I call dynamic tension. She never quite knew where she stood, which kept her engaged, interested, actively pursuing. And this leads directly into phase four, the provocation phase, where she tests your boundaries with calculated provocations. Sometimes positive, like being extra sweet or sexual. Sometimes negative, like picking fights or making jealousy plays. Derek's wife started both. One week, she'd cook his favorite meals, wear lingerie to bed, initiate sex with enthusiasm they hadn't had in years. The next week, she'd pick fights about nothing, mention how a co-worker complimented her new haircut, suggest they needed counseling because he was being distant. These weren't random mood swings. They were systematic tests measuring his reactions, seeing if he'd really changed or if this independence was just a phase she could break. Let me show you what really happens during provocation. She's not trying to hurt you or manipulate you consciously. She's running ancient programming that tests male stability. In nature, female animals test male fitness constantly. The peacock with the biggest tail display, the lion who can defend territory, the wolf who maintains pack status. Human females test differently, but just as relentlessly. Can he maintain frame under emotional pressure? Can she push him off center? Is this strength real or performative? Most loyal husbands fail provocation tests because they don't understand what's being tested. They think her anger means they're doing something wrong. They think her sexual advances mean everything's fixed. They think her jealousy plays mean she's insecure and needs reassurance. But what's actually being tested is simpler. Are your boundaries real? Does your independence survive her emotional weather? Or are you just playing a temporary game that will collapse under pressure? Derek didn't take the bait. When she was sweet and sexual, he enjoyed it, but didn't interpret it as mission accomplished. When she picked fights, he stayed calm and maintained boundaries. When she made jealousy plays, he didn't get defensive or start explaining himself. He remained pleasantly neutral, friendly, but not eager. Present, but not desperate. Loyal, but not available on demand. And you know what pisses me off about all this? That we live in a culture that teaches men the exact opposite of what actually works. Every magazine, every therapist, every relationship expert tells loyal husbands to be more available, more vulnerable, more accommodating, to prioritize their wife's needs above their own, to demonstrate love through constant presence and attention. And then they act confused when these marriages die slowly, when wives lose attraction, when good men get left for assholes who ignored all this advice. The hypocrisy is staggering. Society demands men be loyal, then punishes them for the kind of loyalty that comes from weakness instead of strength. Demands they be present, then creates contempt when that presence is constant. Demands they put family first, then loses respect when men have nothing outside their family. It's a rigged game where following the rules guarantees losing. After 2 months of maintained boundaries, Derek's wife entered phase five, the pursuit phase. This is where everything shifts, where she moves from testing your boundaries to actively pursuing your attention, where she rationalizes why she needs to win you back instead of why she should leave. But here's the critical distinction. This pursuit only happens if you maintained frame through all previous phases. If you caved during anger, she learned you're controllable. If you broke during transition, she learned you can't handle silence. If you jumped on reapproach, she learned your boundaries are fake. If you failed during provocation, she learned your frame is weak. Each phase is cumulative. Each success builds on previous success. Each failure erases all progress. This isn't a technique you try for a few weeks. This is a fundamental restructuring of how you exist in the relationship. Derek's wife started pursuing him with genuine desire for the first time in years. Not transactional sex to keep him happy, not duty-based intimacy to maintain peace, but actual biological attraction triggered by his demonstrated independence. She initiated date nights, asked about his interests, wanted to hear about his gym progress and his friends, started treating him like she did when they were dating. Because in her mind, he'd become someone worth pursuing again. But here's what you need to understand about loyalty and availability. They're not the same thing. You can be completely loyal, completely committed, completely faithful, and still maintain independence, still have your own life, still have boundaries. Your grandfather's generation understood this instinctively. Modern men have had it programmed out of them by a culture that confuses total availability with love. Loyalty means you're not cheating, not betraying, not breaking your vows. Availability means you drop everything when she calls, arrange your life around her schedule, have no commitments that compete with her needs. Loyalty is essential for marriage. Availability is poison. Loyalty from a man with options, with independence, with his own center creates respect and attraction. Loyalty from a man with no life, no boundaries, no gravitational pull creates contempt and boredom. I've seen this pattern 1,000 times. Good men who abandoned their friendships because she didn't like his friends. Men who quit hobbies because she needed more quality time. Men who changed careers, moved cities, restructured their entire existence around keeping their wife happy. And every single one watched attraction die because they confused love with constant accommodation. Stay with me here. Female attraction is not static. It doesn't lock in at the altar and remain constant forever. Female attraction is dynamic, constantly recalibrating based on demonstrated value. A woman can be deeply in love on Monday and completely indifferent by Friday if the man's behavior shifts in specific ways. And the fastest way to kill attraction is demonstrating that you have nothing else going on, that your entire existence revolves around her. When Derek finally understood this, he realized his loyalty had never been the problem. The problem was that his loyalty came packaged with neediness, with constant availability, with a frame that bent to accommodate every request. He was loyal, yes, but he was loyal like a dog is loyal, unconditionally, without boundaries, with his entire emotional state dependent on her approval. And female biology doesn't generate attraction for that kind of loyalty. It generates comfort, maybe gratitude, but never desire. The transformation required was simple but painful. He needed to maintain loyalty while adding independence. Maintain commitment while adding boundaries. Maintain presence when home while maintaining his own life outside home. This meant saying no sometimes. This meant making plans that didn't include her. This meant having interests, friendships, goals that existed independently of the marriage. Not to punish her, not to create distance maliciously, but to become a complete man again. Here's the brutal truth nobody wants to admit. Your wife doesn't want a man who exists only for her. She wants a man other women would want. A man with options who chooses her anyway. A man with his own life who still makes time for her. A man with boundaries who decides she's worth letting in. When you're constantly available, constantly accommodating, you're not demonstrating that she's special. You're demonstrating that you're desperate. Derek's marriage is thriving now, better than it's been in years. Not because he learned some manipulation technique, but because he finally understood what loyalty actually requires to generate attraction. Loyalty plus independence. Commitment plus boundaries. Faithfulness plus self-respect. His wife respects him now because his presence is a choice, not a default. His attention is valuable because it's not infinite. His loyalty matters because it comes from a man with options. This is what being a loyal husband actually means in a way that creates lasting attraction. You maintain faithfulness. You keep your vows. You don't betray or deceive. But you also maintain your own identity, your own friends, your own hobbies, your own non-negotiable boundaries. You're present when you're home, but you're not available on demand. You love her fiercely, but you don't orbit around her emotions. You choose her daily, but she knows it's a choice, not a prison sentence. The question is simple. Are you a loyal husband because you're strong enough to choose faithfulness? Or are you a loyal husband because you're too weak to imagine alternatives? Is your loyalty a gift from a position of abundance? Or is it default programming from scarcity? Your wife knows the answer. Her attraction levels are giving you the answer. The only question is whether you're ready to hear it and whether you're ready to do what's necessary to change it.